Hello and welcome to Hit the Target English Premier League, brought to you by Hollywood Bets. I'm Chad Nagel, your standing host for today. And joining me in the studio, we have Joshua Gaylord, who's back, and as well as Benele Piqua, here to discuss the English Premier League.
Yeah, guys, I had to come back because...
You're buzzing.
I'm buzzing. Benele, I think Liverpool, United, I believe United, so he wouldn't have done Arsenal justice last week. Chad, Chelsea, so definitely wouldn't have done Arsenal justice. I just needed to come back and defend my team a bit. There was some slander on this podcast, I must say. And then all of a sudden, he's gone missing, Mr. Donovan Valuevere. Please, we'd like you to come back. And I understand this week is Manchester City, so you can't even defend your side. But we'd like you to come back.
What do you think Donovan would have tipped in this game?
He would have made sure that Liverpool do not face defeat, or taste defeat rather. Anfield, they've held a good record there for the good couple of years. So that would have been the argument, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, I actually spoke to him earlier this morning, and I was asking whether he agrees with the betting of whether Manchester City should be favourites at Anfield. Clearly they should, but you know, it's just interesting to see it when you actually look at the odds and you see another team favourites to win at Anfield in the Premier League. It's unheard of, but it also goes to show how good Man City are, but also how dreadful Liverpool have been this season. But there's a big game to discuss. Obviously it's that tussle between arguably two of England's best teams. One is obviously a sleeping giant now in Liverpool. It's Liverpool versus Manchester City on Sunday to discuss. But let's get straight into the action. And we got the first game on Friday night. And it looks to be an entertaining affair as Brentford welcome Brighton to the Brentford Community Stadium.
Yeah, look, for me, I don't think it's one of those games we'd look forward to. You know, because of the form the two teams are in. I mean, you look at Brentford, they're a team that started very, very well. They played well last season also. You look at them this season, currently they've won once in the last five games, you know. And you look at Brighton, they've been fantastic. We love Brighton. We always say good things about them on this podcast. Two wins from the last five, two defeats and one draw. So it's a kind of fixture that it can go either way. And Brentford playing at home, we know how they are at home. So yeah, maybe you can side with Brentford in this one for value purposes. I mean, they're coming in at this game at 2-1. So yeah, I think they can upset Brighton and win the game. So for me, I'd go for a slight Brentford win. Yeah, just because of the odds, I'm tempted to take that 2-1. Josh, would you take it?
I think those odds are really good. Like you just mentioned, those stats and facts with Brentford, they haven't really hit their straps this season, and I think that's down to missing Christian Eriksen. I know they didn't bring in Mikael Damsgaard, who I feel is a phenomenal young player that can fill that role over the next three seasons. But they need to bring in someone in the creative midfield role very soon. I think Thomas Frank is missing that. On the flip side, Brighton, they've lost Potter, who saw them defeat Brentford in home and away fixtures last season. And the new manager that's come in, he has Brentford still playing a very good brand of football.
It's like they haven't changed.
Like they haven't changed that much. The attacking play is still good. It's the football's pleasing on the eye. And Brentford's is as well. I can't really separate these teams, but they're both really attacking. And I think that it can be an
open
game, with both teams definitely looking to find the back of the net. Last time Brentford played on a Friday, I could be mistaken. It's nice to see Friday football again under the league, kicked off with Friday football this season, as well as last season. And last season, they stole the show.
Beating Arsenal.
You have to just mention the name, but anyway. I think Brentford, back in front of their fans, they could possibly pull the victory. I would be more inclined to tip them. But for me, the both teams to score market is where I'm heading.
Yeah, I agree with that one, Chatham. This game is written both teams to score all over it.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I think both teams to score looks a good bet, especially as both teams will want to get back on form. You know, I find Brighton a difficult team to back against. They lost against Spurs, but you know, it was a decent performance. We haven't yet seen them outclassed this season. And you know, Brentford tend to blow hot and cold, but at the same time, at home they are a force. So I do think the safest bet here will be both teams to score. Moving on to Saturday's action, and it's Leicester City who really need to find some consistency. They host Crystal Palace.
Hey, they betrayed me last week, Josh. You know, Leicester said all the good things about them, especially after beating Nottingham Forest. So I said all the good things about them last week, and then they just went on and lost to Bournemouth. You know, that was very disappointing. And I think for me, Crystal Palace are licking their lips coming into this game. I mean, you're going to the King Power against Leicester. You know, this is a side in the last two seasons they were in contention for the Champions League. Nobody wanted to go to the King Power, but you're now Vieira, and you're looking at this fixture and you're thinking, this is my opportunity to go to the King Power and walk away with maximum points. And in saying that, I'll side with Crystal Palace. I think for me they can get a result here. Maybe you can go for a safe bet and go for win or draw, but I don't see Crystal Palace losing this game. You know, I really don't see it. Last season they lost 2-1 in this tie at the King Power, but this is the kind of game where they'll be confident going into. So I'll say Crystal Palace win, draw for me. I'm not having Leicester anymore, especially after being disappointed like that last week.
You sound truly broken. Must have lost quite a bit there. Yeah, I think Leicester going forward, they're not as potent as before, but that all comes down to that back line just not being anywhere near cohesive. I think Kasper Schmeichel leaving Leicester City was a big worrying sign, and everybody should have just envisioned that this is where Leicester would be. He was Mr. Foxes, if you could say.
Yeah. It didn't help losing Wesley Fofana as well.
As well, definitely. So I think, and the replacement goalkeeper in Danny Ward, I'm not a person to be overly critical of players, but I don't believe he should be in between those goalposts. I'd rather just give the next in succession to have those gloves on his hands. I don't feel that they will be able to keep a clean sheet for the next good couple of fixtures, but going forward, funny enough, they've still managed to find the back of the net in their last four games. The only game that they didn't was, I believe, against United. It was a 1-0 victory in favor of United, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But having said that about Leicester, I'm surprised that Rodgers was still in the job after the international break. I think I did say that previously.
Yeah.
And Vieira licking his lips for sure. Yeah. There's a player by the name of Abrechi Eze. I think he's going to terrorize their defense. I feel that it could easily be over 2.5 goals in favor of Crystal Palace.
I think we'll see more coaches being sacked next month when when that break starts. You know, that break for the World Cup, the 2 months break. So a lot of coaches will be sacked then. So clubs now are like, okay, let's just wait a bit because there's a long break that's coming. Mm. You then bring in a new coach, you give them time to work with the players and let them gel.
It's a good point.
Yeah, with the players that didn't go to the World Cup. So I'm expecting a lot of sackings during that period.
And while you are on the talk of you expecting coaches to be sacked, is Brendan Rodgers going to be one of them?
I think so. I definitely think so.
I believe he's next in line. Yeah. Having said that, just after the World Cup is the January transfer window. So there will be a chance for them to bring in fresh players as well.
Well, up next, it's a battle of the promoted sides. Yes, it's Fulham against Bournemouth at Craven Cottage.
Yeah, for me, there's not much to separate the two promoted sides. Like Chad said, I mean, you look at Bournemouth, they've picked up 12 points and Fulham 11 points, you know. Bournemouth have conceded 20 goals, Fulham conceding 18. The only worry for Bournemouth is that they've scored 8 goals while Fulham have scored 14, you know. So you can see Fulham are definitely scoring in this game, you know. They've scored 14 goals, one of the highest in the league, like up against a team that has conceded 20, you know. So a goal for Fulham here is on the cards, but there's not much to separate both teams. After 9 games, both of them, they've won 3 times, you know, so there's not much to separate. There's really not much. 3 draws for Bournemouth and 2 draws for Fulham, you know, 11 points and 12. So one can think, okay, if there's ever a straight draw this weekend, maybe go for a straight draw with goals in this game. So a draw in both teams to score for me is my play in this game.
I think I am inclined to believe that Bournemouth can get a result here. They rather missed their big man up front in Dominic Solanke, and he's back. And I think that he offers a lot of options for them going forward. He can bring in those two wide players quite easily. Whereas on the flip side, Fulham have lost their man up front, their target man, Mitrovic, who came into the league phenomenal and impressed a lot of us, especially me. I think that Bournemouth can ride in on this game with some good confidence, having beaten the team we just mentioned, Leicester. And they can. I feel that Bournemouth can get the away result. They did beat them in the Championship last season 3-0. And I think they can get a result here. I'm backing Bournemouth.
Yeah, well, that should be an interesting affair, as both sides obviously look to avoid the drop and secure safety for the season. It's certainly a game that they'd want to pick maximum points on, especially playing at home in front of their home crowd. The up next isn't really an exciting game. I know we just finished talk about two promoted sides, but it doesn't get any entertaining when Wolves, who are 18th, host 19th place Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the points, they speak volumes. Wolves are on 6 points after 9 games. Nottingham Forest are on 5 points. I think for me, I said it last week and I'm going to say it again, Nottingham Forest are definitely going down. And this is a big, big opportunity for Wolves to kick out and move away from the red zone. You mean...
Yeah.
This is a chance for them to score goals too. They've only scored 3 goals this season and conceded 12, which is very bad. That's poor in anyone's language. So this is a chance. You're at home against a Nottingham Forest, who for me, they're the worst team in the league. So you're up against a team like that. It's an opportunity for you to score goals, boost some confidence ahead of the harder fixtures that you're going to be facing. And if you can't win a game like this, then for me, I think you are definitely... in the relegation zone, you are definitely a team that will be fighting relegation. So I don't put Wolves there as yet, but if they don't win this game and if they don't win it convincingly, I'll start saying Wolves are in the relegation zone amongst your Nottingham Forest and teams like that. So for me, this is a chance for you to make a statement. Same like Leicester did when they hosted in Nottingham Forest. Failure to do that, then it'll say something about you. So for me, I'll take the 7-10. I'm giving Wolves a chance. I think this is a bank of the week. Take the second 7-10 and include in all multiples. But we will be watching Wolves with a scrutinic eye. And if they fail to impress, then we can confidently say they'll be battling relegation come end of the season.
Look, I have to side with you. Not so much to say banker, but I have to side with you in that. I think Nottingham Forest, that's where more so that I believe Wolves will get this result.
Yeah.
Chelsea done them over last week, but they had players who I believe can still hurt a side and definitely hurt a side like Nottingham Forest.
Yeah.
I'm backing Wolves here. Not so much to say banker with Panelli, but get behind them.
Well, I also back Wolves here, especially, you know, you just spoke about the players that they have. There's so many quality in the Wolves team, which is very surprising to see them in the relegation zone. They've now just recently added Diego Costa to their squad, and I think this is an opportunity to score a couple of goals against Nottingham Forest. I do believe you will get an opportunity to get on the score sheet. Well, the day ends with a bit of an entertaining game. It's you know, Spurs have been excellent. They've won all four of their games at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, and they'll be high on confidence when they welcome Everton. But Everton have punched above their weight. They've shown plenty of positive sides this season under Frank Lampard, and I think that we could have a real cracking game on our hands here.
Yeah, we will definitely have a cracking game. But one thing about Everton this season, I'm not sure if it has worked for them or against them, but they've been a very defensive team. You look at their games, you'll see that most of their games have been low scoring. You know, they've, prior to the United game, they'd conceded 6 goals. They'd conceded 7 goals prior to that game, and now it's 9. You know, you look at the amount of goals they'd scored, also 8 goals after 9 games. They one of the lowest teams, you know, 8 goals. I mean, we're talking teams already. Spurs, they've scored 20, you know, up against a team that has scored 8 after 9 games. So they don't have that that firepower, as much as they haven't been leaking goals in defense. So their games have been very cautious. Maybe it's because they were fighting relegation last season and they don't want to find themselves in that predicament as last season. That's why they've came with a more defensive, cautious approach. So again, I'm expecting the same thing from Frank Lampard. They'll be more defensive coming into this game, especially playing away from home, and you're playing against a team that's third on the log, you know, 3 points behind Man City, you know, so you wouldn't want to get a hiding. And you know how Spurs can be. They've got your Harry Kane's, they've got your Richarlison, your Sons. We saw him scoring a brace midweek, you know. So I think it will be more of a defensive game. For those punters that like goals, maybe you can say under 2.5, something like that.
Look, as you're speaking, I'm thinking Neil Maupay came in to replace Richarlison. Mm-hmm. He hasn't had the chance to feature. He's been injured. They've also missed Dominic Calvert-Lewin. So they've lost Richarlison. They brought in someone to replace him, and he's been injured. And they've lost another man who normally is their go-to man up front in Calvert-Lewin. So maybe that's why Frank Lampard has decided to go defensively. Yeah. He's got no strike force at the moment. Iwobi, who played up front last season, Frank has actually found an ideal and suitable role for him in the midfield. He's been looking a totally different player. And he scored an absolute peach of a goal last week.
Yeah.
Yes, they have looked defensive because they haven't had those front men available. Dominic Calvert-Lewin is available now. He comes into this game, and Everton rather come into this game facing Richarlison for the first time. I think it's going to be an exciting fixture, even though Tottenham's fixtures haven't been that exciting of recent. They're not the greatest to watch, but Frank Lampard's side has been good to watch. Even in the way that they play defensively, it's more of a possession-based defense than having a low block like Antonio Conte, which is what he's going to do on Saturday. I enjoy watching one of the new players that Everton have brought in from Belgium is Onana.
Very good.
Very good. And yeah, he links up really well with Idrissa Gueye as well, who's come back to the Toffees. I feel like this could be a tough match for Conte, purely based on the fact that they finally have an outlet to go with up front Everton. I feel like this is, I'm backing Everton on the double chance.
Wow.
to get the victory at the London Stadium.
I mean, I'd love to see it. But, you know, I think Everton, what we can say about them, which we were certainly saying the opposite last season, Everton have really been fearless, you know, in their approach to games, even against top sides. They are fearless under Frank Lampard, and you know they've got so much quality, and players have found their feet. You know, you mentioned Iwobi, who looks such a top player. The acquisition of Onana, such a gifted player, good on the ball, but also when Everton don't have it, he just finds the right space, and his interceptions are good. He knows how to break down the play. You know, they've got quality in Gordon, who causes a threat. And I do think that they will cause Tottenham all kinds of problems. But just with the game being played at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, where Spurs enjoy a 100% home record, I just think it gives them the edge. Also, I do think on the flip side, of while Everton are fearless and good going forward, I think that might suit Antonio Conte's men, you know, they might welcome a side who will come out and attack them. And then, you know, they play counter-attacking football and they do have a fearsome front force to get to score the goals and get all 3 points. So I do think this is going to be a game to watch that I think we'll see, like, you know, goal scoring opportunities on both sides. But I do think Tottenham just might have the edge.
Yeah.
Well, on to Sunday's action, and it's my beloved Chelsea, who are in form, look to have found their rhythm against Aston Villa, who will be hoping to avoid a fifth defeat for the season.
Yeah, I mean, Chelsea, I remember last week, Chad and Donovan chipped them convincingly. I said, I wouldn't be surprised to see a draw in a game like that, as good as Chelsea are. But if you look at how they've done since Graham Potter's have arrived, I mean, we have to respect that they've done very well. 16th, fourth on the log. They've got 16 points, fourth on the log currently. You know, they're going about their business quietly. Plus two, they've got a game in hand, you know. So this for me is a team that needs to be taken seriously. We have to say they've got the quality. They've got everything. Yes, the only concern was, are they playing as a team? But right now, that's what Graham Potter has fixed. Chelsea are playing like a team, mm-hmm. and they do look dangerous. You know, they look very dangerous. And in games like this, I think for me, Chelsea are the team you can say, okay, let me start bankering Chelsea. Chelsea are back, you know. Yeah, they've scored 13 goals after 8 games. You know, there's still a lot to improve up front, but we've seen Aubameyang coming into play. They've now got direction. They've now got that focal point. So I think Chelsea now will start scoring goals. They'll start picking up and be the Chelsea that we know.
Look, Chelsea have been playing some good football. Finally, I think they had a difficult start to end of last season. It was a bit difficult. But Potter, I've always thought he's a good manager, and like we all had questions with him coming there, is he good enough for Chelsea? The magnitude that is Chelsea.
Yeah.
I feel like we can't pass judgment just yet. It's a good period. They look excellent, but it still, for me personally, doesn't look as how I know Chelsea to be. They're getting the good results, and that's excellent for them. That's what they need. It was a excellent win against Wolves.
And Milan.
And Milan as well. Back-to-back victories against Milan. To go away to San Siro,
it's
not easy for any team. In this fixture, banker Chelsea. I feel Chelsea get the result here. I don't know why there are some people calling for Steven Gerrard's head. He
spent a lot of money, that's why.
Villa have a good team.
At the same time, I take the example of how the board have backed Arteta at Arsenal. Steven Gerrard isn't a bad manager. He did phenomenal things with Rangers. Yes, the Premier League is a different ballgame, and he has been backed. But it's also up to the players to get to... When I look at Philippe Coutinho and what he is capable of, what he did last season, what he did against Man City, he hasn't been putting in the performances that we've known him to be as coming back into the Premier League. So there are some creative players that need to come and step up to the plate here. If you look at Douglas Luiz, who was supposedly leaving Villa towards the end of the transfer window, he could still be in that mindset. He's not fully committed to the team. So there needs to be a couple of decisions. But they've gotten some good results. They've drawn at Man City. So they're not playing bad football. The results just aren't coming to fruition. They need some of those attacking players to just come to the party. But in this fixture, I think Chelsea are banker. This is my banker of the weekend.
Yeah, no, I agree. The thing is with Gerrard, when I Josh, they're currently 16th on the log. And the table before the spending, that's where you'd expect Villa to be. You know, you'd expect them to be there about in the relegation zone. But after spending money on your Coutinhos and all of that, and you still see Villa in the same languishing, I mean, in the relegation zone, then you start saying, okay, no, changes had to be made, has to be made, and managerial changes. Maybe we should bring in a coach that can get the best out of your Coutinhos and all of that. You can't have a Coutinhos and players like that and still be 16th on the log, you know. So that's why people are calling for Gerrard's head. You know, one win from Wolves and a draw from Southampton, it takes them right into the red zone, and you don't want to be there after spending so much money.
Yeah, well, I have to say Chelsea win this game for me as well. I think 17-20 is a good price.
Yeah, definitely.
Chelsea have been informed. They're unbeaten since Graham Potter's taken charge of them, and they haven't shown signs of being beaten, not in any of those games at least. I think Aubameyang scoring is a huge plus for Chelsea. We always knew that they would find a way to fix their defensive problems because of the quality they have in defense. But it was up front where the question marks were asked. But Aubameyang is coming, done a fine job, and he looks to be ending talk, squashing talk of the number nine curse. I think Chelsea win this game. And, you know, we are talking about bankers. I know this is your banker, Josh, the Chelsea to beat Villa. But I'm going to just call this next fixture the banker of bankers. It's Arsenal, who I expect to wipe the floor with Leeds United.
The banker of bankers. I mean, it's understandable. We get where that is coming from. Arsenal this season, they've been
phenomenal.
Flying. Yeah, they've been absolutely fantastic. Top of the table so far after nine games. Won 8, lost 1 only against United at Old Trafford, which I think a lot of teams will go there and get upset this season. I know Josh is laughing, but I think losing to Old Trafford is no shame. A lot of teams will get stick there. We saw it with Liverpool also. But yeah, you look at Arsenal, I mean, only Man City and Newcastle have conceded the least goals, and Everton, which is 9, and you look at Arsenal also conceding 10 goals. So they've kind of fixed their defensive problems, which was a little bit of a concern. We were complaining that Arsenal are conceding in every game, you know. So they're starting slowly but surely improving on that. And you look at their firepower up front, you know, everybody's scoring. There's Saka scoring. Odegaard is just creating. Martinelli scoring, you know. Jesus is scoring. And which is what you want. You want all your front three to get used to scoring goals. And then you then become a dangerous team when you have that. So there's no this thing of, okay, we've only got one player to take care of once that it's sorted, you know. So all the players are scoring 23 goals so far after 9 games. We understand why Chad is saying banker in this one. Only Man City has scored more than Arsenal because, I mean, they've got Haaland, you know. He's just basically scoring everything there. But yeah, bar Man City, I think Arsenal are the second best team in the league so far. And against a team like Leeds, I'd also say it's a banker of bankers. Take Arsenal in everything. We haven't been saying this in years about Arsenal, but this is a time where we say banker of bankers. Take Arsenal. After this, after game week 9, Arsenal will still be top of the table convincingly too.
Yeah. So, you know, I just think, you know, we have to be fair. I like what you said. We have to be fair because Arsenal have been criticized a lot for some time. You know, you think of the Arsene Wenger years, Unai Emre, and rightly so, and perhaps unfairly so at times, but we've criticized them for a reason because they are, you know, they're the juggernauts of English football. They belong at the, you know, at the top, fighting, challenging for leagues. And so while we were quick to criticize them, it's only right that we come out and applaud them when they are playing like a fantastic team. They have been arguably with Manchester City the best side in Europe you know this season, and Mikel Arteta deserves a lot of praise for that. I'm sure if you're an Arsenal supporter like Josh, I'm sure you're very happy with what you're seeing, because it's not just victories like Chelsea, Spurs are getting victories, but it's the performances, it's the dominant showings, and it's also the ability to change and switch formations, like, you know, during a game if things aren't going your way. And I think y'all have had an answer for every question.
Yeah, now it's the fans that are inconsistent. How's Jesse the inconsistency? 1 week they're overachieving. Next week they're going to win the league.
Yeah.
Look, I think all the praise has to go to Mikel Arteta getting the best out of the players.
True.
Yeah, if you look at the game last week to analyze a bit, when I saw the team sheets and I saw Tomiyasu at left back, I was like, what are we doing here? Like, we just saw Tierney Thursday night, unfortunately, have an excellent game.
Yeah.
And you'd automatically think he'd be the left back. But to put Salah away like that in such a big fixture, that was the masterstroke. Because if Salah got a number on Tomiyasu,
we would all be criticizing Arteta
for making that decision, and he got it right. In the same instance, Arsenal have spread the play in the front a lot more. Saka held the touchline a lot more in previous fixtures as opposed to the game against Liverpool. He came in and Arteta identified that obviously Thiago is pulling the strings for Liverpool at the moment, and he almost man-marked him. I think Saka almost had to. That was his job for the fixture, man-marking Thiago alongside Odegaard. They narrowed the play a lot more. So I think all the players has to go to him. He's built a great team. They're playing well. But it's all about, for me, it's all about consistency. I wasn't here when you guys spoke about title aspirations. Arsenal, it's not a title aspiration. And I say that because if you look at... fair enough, you can say it. But if you look at if Liverpool were in the position that Arsenal is in right now, Donovan would be here first and foremost.
Yeah. sure.
And people would be saying this is Liverpool's season without question. So fair enough, you can ask the question because they are playing well. They are at the top of the league. But there's no consistency in the terms of Man City have been doing this for 5 seasons. Yeah. Liverpool have been doing it for roughly the same amount of time. So that's why it's easy to back them to take the lead.
They've got the know-how. You're just basically a little bit cautious.
Very much so.
Yeah.
So it's all about consistency this season. If they can maintain the form that they are in, by all means, it's a very difficult season, obviously, with the World Cup being in a totally different place. Football has been a bit all over the place of recent COVID seasons now, World Cup in odd places.
Yeah.
Mm. Very difficult season.
Arsenal, top of the log.
I mean, exactly. It's weird and wonderful things in football, but... Well, not banker of bankers, but a great shout for Arsenal.
Okay,
to
well, you've heard Josh. Yeah. He's a little bit cautious there, but you know it is a good question to ask, and I think it's a question I want to ask our listeners tuning in. So, and the question is: are Arsenal title contenders? Are they title contenders? That's our question, and we want to know your thoughts. So please let us know and share your thoughts with us. We want to know. Just tell us, are Arsenal in a title race? You let us know. And if your comment impresses our panel of judges and hits the target, we will credit your account gladly with a 200 Rand betting voucher courtesy of Hollywood Bet. So all you need to do is just tell us, are Arsenal title contenders? Benelli, for you, are they?
I think so. We have to say that. I mean, after 9 games, they top of the log. You know, that's a quarter of a season, and we're saying this is a bank of bankers. So after 10 games, we're expecting Arsenal to be cruising at the top. So we have to say, title contenders. You know, like Jesse said a couple of weeks ago, they are overachieving. Yes, they are. But I think for me, they are one team that I'm looking at and saying, Arsenal, City and Spurs, they'll be fighting it out all the way, provided if Chelsea improve. But I think there'll be a lot of strong teams going into the title race this season. I just want to ask Josh one thing. Josh, one player from Arsenal, we're picking team of the season right now after 9 games. You need to give one player from Arsenal. Who would you give?
Without question, Gabriel Martinelli. I think every player that he has... Actually, not without question. I think Granit Xhaka has been excellent. Mm. He's the driving force at the moment. He might not be the flashiest player. He might not do flicks and flex. Well, he does score some screamers. He's the driving force behind the team right now. It's one of those two for me. Granit Xhaka, the biggest engine. Martinelli taking on anybody and everybody in the league.
I would say Odegaard.
I'd also go for Odegaard. I think he's been absolutely outstanding.
Very, very good. You know, you said about Arsenal being overachievers. That you can still, Leicester have proved that you can still overachieve yourself into a title race and win the title. So I'll just leave you with that. Up next is a game that sees fifth go against sixth. It's Manchester United who entertain Newcastle United. Both sides obviously want to get back into Europe, and this should be an intriguing contest to say.
Yeah, I mean, you look at United, they haven't won this season. You know, they've won 5 and lost 3. You know, so what you see is what you get with this United side. Newcastle, they've played fairly well. I mean, we expected Newcastle to be the best team for the top six. You know, we expected them to be there or thereabout.
Let me ask you, did you expect them to wipe the floor at Brentford 5-1?
No, definitely
that
not.
That was a shocking result.
That was definitely a shocking result, you know, but we do expect something like that from them, you know. We are not surprised that they scoring 5 goals in one game. It's just not against Brentford, no. But I did think they've got a hiding in them, you know. I knew it was coming. I just didn't expect it in this past weekend against Brentford. But I'm not surprised it happened. I think it was something that's been knocking on the doors, you know. Newcastle have got a hiding in them. Like I said, you know, this is one team by the top six. We thought, okay. After the top six, then you'll have Newcastle, and they're exactly there, you know. Sixth right now on the log, and they're knocking on the top four. Soon we'll be saying Newcastle are top four challengers. Not this season, though. Probably next season, that's where we expect them to be. So they're going about their business.
Well, I'd say rule it out. I don't rule it out.
Even this season?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a tough one this season, especially if Liverpool can improve. You know, it'll be a tough one. But we wouldn't rule it out. This is a game that's written goals all over it. Newcastle have been scoring goals. United have been leaking goals. And when they're scoring, also when they're playing at home. So you look at United. Scoring 13, conceding 14 after 8 games, 15 after 8 games, you know, that's really a lot. So I think for me, both teams to score is a big runner in this one. We've seen it with United, especially playing at Old Trafford, you know, all their games, they've been winning and scoring. So maybe if you're a punter that like big odds and say United to win and both teams to score, I think that's a big runner for me.
Yeah. Well, Josh Benelli clearly thinks both teams to score. I do as well. Chance for CR701?
No, I don't think so. I think he plays a full fixture on Thursday night. Anthony Martial has been so unlucky. He finally seemed injured again. He finally seemed to find his spot in United after some time, but it seems that it's not going to go his way. So Ronaldo will play a full 90 on Thursday night, but I don't think that he will be able to play another full 90 on Sunday. I feel like United run away in this fixture. Last week, they played Everton. Everton have been, like we've just mentioned, playing phenomenally. And United seem to dominate Newcastle almost every season. If you look at the last 5 results, I just had a look at them now while you were talking, Banele. And just for the listeners to get a glimpse of this, okay, they drew 1-1 last season at St. James's Park. James's Park has become a fortress for Newcastle, but on the road, they haven't been the greatest. And they lost 4-1 at Old Trafford last season. The season before that is 3-1 at Old Trafford. And the season before that is 4-1 again at Old Trafford.
Sure.
The United, and they haven't always been in the best of form, but like they do against Arsenal at Old Trafford, they turn up against Newcastle. There is a rivalry there. Newcastle have been a big name, so to speak. Not that they've been getting into those big shoes that they need to fill for the team that they are. But they are slowly getting there, and they are in great form. But away on the road against Old Trafford, I can't see them getting a result here, and I see Manchester United dominating this fixture.
So like you said, so 4-1, 3-1, 4-1, 4-1.
I think over 2.5, Manchester United, that's my play.
Yeah. Even the form suggests my tip, United win and both teams to score.
Yes, I will too, by the way. I want to ask for your quick prediction on this game. Just because of time, and I want to spend more time on the Liverpool-Manchester City fixture. So just a quick prediction. Southampton, they host West Ham United. Who wins it?
A draw.
You, Josh?
West Ham.
West Ham. Okay. Well, time to discuss the big one. This is the game I'm sure we all can't wait for. We're all excited to watch this game. I think we're all just more excited to see how Liverpool fare. Against this mighty Manchester City team who look absolutely frightening. I mean, we know Manchester City to be a world-class team, have always come close to winning the Champions League recently. You know, this is a powerhouse of a team, but now they look a different beast with Erling Haaland in the side. And it doesn't help that Virgil van Dijk has not looked his self. So, what's going to happen in this game? Take us through it, Banilu.
Hey, it's a tough one. It's really a tough
it's
one.
It's at Anfield, by the way, and Manchester City are favourites.
Sure. I think they deserve to be favourites. I mean, if you look at how they've been playing with Haaland and how Liverpool have played recently. But odds will go out the window. That's one thing for sure when the game is played. And I saw Pep Guardiola having a little bit of respect towards this fixture, resting players like your Haalands and your Fodens, who have been absolutely fantastic this season. And you could see it was...
Probably why they drew.
And it was clear for all to see why he rested them. He rested them simply because of this fixture. You know, he hasn't been winning at Anfield for the longest time. He wants to go there and change things around. And everybody has been talking about invincible from Man City, and we all looked at the fixtures and said if they can go to Anfield and avoid defeat, then probably invincible is something we can start talking about. You know, so yeah, this is a tough test for Man City. It's a tough test for Haaland. You know, Liverpool, they just something else in games like this. And everyone is saying, even going into the Emirates, everyone is saying, yeah, 3-1, 3-0, you know, they're getting a hiding. But at some
stage... Not everyone. You can mention them by name.
But yeah, I mean, there are a lot of people on social media who are like bullish on Arsenal. And look at them. They're going to the Emirates and scoring 2 goals. That's just Liverpool. And we saw them scoring 7 again midweek against Rangers. Salah coming on second half and scoring a hat-trick, you know. So that's good confidence going into a game like this. And Liverpool is as bad as we've all been saying. They've only lost 2 games in the league this season, and they've scored 20 goals, you know. It's not like they've been terrible like how people have been saying. I mean, 20 goals is a lot in 8 games. And you look at City, everyone is saying brilliant, you know. It's a tough one. I think if there is a team that can stop Man City, it's Liverpool. They've done it in the past. This is the same Liverpool that was going for the quadruple last season, you know. So people are quick to forget and people are quick to write sides off. But I think Liverpool have got it in them to beat the City team. I wouldn't be surprised to see it.
Josh, I think I can catch you. I know what you've said, that, you know, you're not ready to put Arsenal as title contenders. But, you know, I think as an Arsenal fan, if you answer which result you actually want in this tie, will show you and will prove whether you are dreaming about a title or not. So as an Arsenal fan, what results are you looking for?
Okay, there's no analysis for this. Liverpool, come on, let's go Reds. No, I'm kidding. Bournemouth lost 9-0 to Liverpool not too long ago. Yeah. And they currently sit above Liverpool on the table. It's Jurgen Klopp is under a lot of pressure. And like Banele said, the 7-1 victory definitely gives them a bit of a leeway heading into a game which could go horribly wrong for them. There are some records up on the line here. Yeah. Anfield has been a fortress for Liverpool over the last few seasons. And like Banele is saying, even Manchester City, one of the best teams in the world, arguably the best team in the world, has struggled here. I think it's only been one victory, and that was during the COVID season when there were no fans. So Liverpool and the fans and Anfield go hand in hand, all three. So that's a big factor. So when it's a packed out stadium, it's a bit more difficult for Manchester City to get a result. But if there's a moment and if there's a time... their time is now. Liverpool look a shadow of themselves. And yes, it's a lot of different factors, from injuries to players looking a shadow of themselves, like Van Dijk. I remember, or I was listening to something just the other day where Virgil van Dijk had his injury just before the Euros not too long ago. And you can only think he does not want to miss a World Cup. He's, how old is he now? 33, 34? Somewhere it could be his last. Maybe that's why he's tentative to go into challenges, and he looks a bit of a shadow of himself. He has to keep himself to play for in the World Cup this year. Maybe he picks up his form after the World Cup. Who knows? But at this very given time, there's a lot of players that look a shadow of themselves. And because of that, Klopp even seems to be changing things around. We saw him play before Arsenal.
4-2-3-1.
Change his formation. And at the Emirates, he even went completely defensive. It was,
yeah.
Where have you ever seen a Liverpool team play alone with block? Where all four changes that he made were defensive changes. Liverpool don't ever go for the draw. He was going for a draw at the Emirates, who at Arsenal, yeah. who they've dominated so completely.
That's just a sign of a lack of confidence.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Yes, the Rangers game gives them some confidence, like yeah. it did heading into the Emirates fixture, where they also got a bit of confidence from it.
Yeah,
but confidence is going to be the death of them this weekend. I feel like Manchester City will finally get that result. And even with Virgil van Dijk on the field, who I believe has not lost with Liverpool at Anfield in over 60 fixtures. That's a phenomenal stat. And he has his hands full this weekend with Erling Haaland. It doesn't matter whether they put Konate next to him. I've mentioned it a couple of times on the podcast. I was watching a fixture with Erling Haaland facing Konate in the Bundesliga. And
manhandled
him.
Yeah.
So whether it's Van Dijk, whether it's Matip, whether it is Konate, it's going to be a tough one for them. And I feel that Manchester City win this fixture.
Emphatically? Well, a scoreline. Give us a scoreline.
Look, I feel like they could win a 2-0.
Okay.
But I feel like it will still be a dominant fixture. Normally, City still go there and they don't look as dominant as usual. I feel like it will be a dominant fixture. Even if they beat them 1-0 or 2-0, they look more dominant than they have been in a while when it comes to this one. That's my prediction for Sunday. Yeah.
And Liverpool don't have Luis Diaz, so.
Yeah, but I really do see Liverpool scoring in this game. I think they'll score. At the same time, I mean, we've seen it with City. They haven't been taking the game to Liverpool at Anfield. They always come with that cautious approach, you know. Even in the game where Mahrez missed a penalty, which they could have won, they were very cautious. So it'll be interesting to see how Guardiola comes up. If he comes up like how he's been playing against United, where you just go all out and attack, or will he be more cautious and wait for Liverpool and try catch them there or there? So it'll be an interesting one. But if he goes all out, trying to go for the kill, then he'll open some spaces which players like Firmino's and your Salah's can utilize and get the goal. So probably about teams to score in this one is a banker. I'm not sure of the odds.
Banker.
Both teams to score.
Yeah, I think so. I think if we look at City this season, they have been leaking goals. A 3-3 draw with Newcastle, I believe.
Yeah.
They went 2-0 down to Crystal Palace.
But attack.
Yes. Yeah. And I feel like they have to attack that way this season. And create opportunity. Yes, he only needs half a chance, but to create more opportunities for Erling Haaland to score, they have to be a bit more on the front foot. Sure. Not that they aren't ever, but in the big fixtures like you're mentioning, they tend to come with a different approach. But in this one, this is their chance.
Yeah. Well, that's it from us. We thank you for tuning in and listening. We hope that you enjoy the football this weekend and good luck with your bets. That's all. That's it from us.
Sharp.
Donovan, your bottle is waiting for you.
Cheers, guys.